Good morning. I'm glad to see so many smiling faces here. Oh, hey, so many of you here this morning, and good to see some faces that we don't see too often. But I'm glad you're all here to worship with us here this morning. Let me go through a couple of announcements, and then we'll get to our service. First of all, just reminders from things that are in the bulletin. If you get your Christmas cards together for everybody that has a mailbox here and you don't want to take the time to put them in the mailboxes, you can put them over in the kitchen. There will be a box over there, and the missionary support committee will take care of distributing those for you. They've got some specific dates there. Take a look at it and take advantage of that if you'd like. Also, a new one, or at least there's a change here in the bulletin. The cookie baking on December 7th, that's at 1:30 now. We've talked about bringing two batches of your cookie dough. You're going to make the cookies, and then if I understand it correctly, you're going to swap the cookies then, right? And that's kind of like the part that's kind of missing here, but kind of the fun part then. You're not just going to come here, bake your cookies, and take your own cookies home. You're going to get to share with others, swap these cookies. That's why you're bringing two batches, so that you've got plenty for everybody to take some home for them. Also, there's a note here, too, about the caroling, Christmas caroling on the front steps. That's on the 15th at 3:30, and then right after, there will be a pizza party. In case of rain, meet at Leffler. What's that? Okay, I'll have to, well, it's going, in case of rain, meet at Leffler at the entrance to Londonderry Village. Leffler Care, okay.
So in the back, on the side of the Turnbrook Road, you're facing Londonderry Village, Leffler Care is on the left.
Okay, so if it's not raining, we're going to be caroling here, okay. But if it is raining, we'll be caroling at the Londonderry Village, okay. All right, and then I was also asked to remind you about the poinsettias. Today's the last day to order those. If you had forgotten, but you still want to get some poinsettias, you can meet Sharon after church back there in the back, and you can make some arrangements. But today was the last day, so today still is the last day. We got to get the orders for the poinsettias in. I see that the box is still back there for the Christmas cards for the shut-ins. I think that's going to be going away very soon, though, too. So today might be the last opportunity to put those in as well. So, any other announcements or schedule related items that we need to share?
Well, in the bulletin it says there's a PRC.
Yes. There is no PRC meeting this week, or at December 5th. Yep. Thank you. That was just changed yesterday. So, any other contributions, any other input? Okay, well, we're going to do things a little bit differently this morning. For my call to worship, instead of having a call to worship, we're in Christmas now, and so we're in the season of Advent, so we're going to have the lighting of the Advent candle. But before we do that, I wanted to just run something by you. A little story. I don't know how many of you have ever heard of Luis Palau. He was an internationally known evangelist. He passed away back in 2021, but while he was alive, he told a story about a wealthy European family who wanted to have their newborn baby baptized. And they made it an elaborate affair. They invited dozens of guests. They came to the mansion. And once they were there, they were all dressed up in their finest clothes. And when they arrived, they would take their jackets, their wraps, their overcoats. They took them up to an upstairs bedroom, threw them on the bed, and came down. And they would be then entertained very royally. It was a wonderful time. And soon the time came then for the main event, the infant's baptism. But where's the baby? Nobody could find the baby. The child's governess, she ran all over the house, but she kept coming back with a desperate look on her face. Where's the baby? Everybody searched frantically. And then finally, somebody remembered seeing the baby asleep on one of the beds. The baby was buried, he was alive, but the baby was buried underneath a pile of jackets, coats, and furs. The object of that day's celebration had been forgotten, neglected, and nearly smothered. The baby, whose birthday that we celebrate at Christmas, might also be easily hidden underneath our stress, anxiety, and our busy schedules during the Christmas season. So, we need to enter Advent by clearing away the piles of burdens and asking the desperate question, where's the baby? I invite Vicky to come up for our lighting of the first candle on our Advent wreath. So as I said, today is the first Sunday in the season of Advent. Advent means coming. You'll hear this again in the sermon, but it means coming, and it's a season that we prepare for the coming of Christ. And one of the ways that we can celebrate Advent is by making an Advent wreath. Hi. You just wanted to get closer?
Don't want my backside.
One of the ways that we can celebrate Advent is by making or just having an Advent wreath and lighting its candles to remind us of the gifts that Christ brings to the world.
The Advent wreath includes...
Oh. Should have had a microphone. Sorry. We want to hear what you're saying. Thank you. The other thing about this is to prove that we're not perfect.
The Advent wreath includes many symbols. The wreath is in the shape of a circle without beginning or ending. This reminds us that there is no beginning and no ending to God. God's love and care for us never ends.
And the evergreen branches are a sign of everlasting new life. The candles tell us of the light that came into the world with Jesus Christ.
The traditional colors of the Advent candles, three violet and one rose, are penitential colors, reminding us that we need God's help to be the people we are meant to be.
And then the white candle that's in the center, that's the one that we'll light on Christmas Eve, and that signifies the coming of Christ. And so today, we light the first candle, the candle of hope. The people of Israel heard God's promises through the prophets. The prophet Isaiah spoke words of hope to Israel. He spoke of the coming of God's realm of peace, when all the nations will walk in God's light. We too hope and pray for a world of peace and harmony.
Hope is like a light shining in a dark place. With the lighting of this candle, we celebrate the hope of Israel and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ.
Let's pray. We continue to hope in God's promise that Christ will come again to fill our lives and the life of the world with love and joy and peace. Thank you, God, for the light of hope. As we prepare for Christ's coming, help us to share our hope with others. Amen. I'll invite you now, if you're able, to stand as we'll sing our first hymn. We'll sing a Christmas song each Sunday after lighting the candle. So today we're going to sing, as this is the candle of hope, we're going to sing, "Come, Thou Long Expected Jesus."
Thank you.
I'll invite you to take a moment to greet your neighbor, and the praise band will come up and get ready to lead us in some songs. All right, well, I didn't say anything about sitting down. If you're able, I encourage you, go ahead and stand. We're going to be singing some worship songs now.
So many people trying to fill the void inside. So many questions asking how, asking why. I might not have all the answers, but I've tasted and I've seen. There's a better path for Jesus. There's no going back for me. I'm gonna live the way He says to live. Do what He says to do. You can choose whatever road you choose, but I'm gonna love the way He says to love, trust the way He says to trust. This world alone will never be enough, so I'm gonna walk with Jesus. I'm gonna walk, I'm gonna walk, I'm gonna walk with Jesus. I'm gonna walk with Jesus. He's in the leading, that's why I follow where He goes. He's in restoring all the lost, broken souls. He keeps moving, rich in mercy. He meets us where we are. No matter where you've gone, no such thing has gone too far. I'm gonna live the way He says to live. Do what He says to do. Whatever road you choose, but I'm gonna love the way He says to love, trust the way He says to trust. This world alone will never be enough, so I'm gonna walk with Jesus. I'm gonna walk, I'm gonna walk, I'm gonna walk with Jesus. I'm gonna walk with Jesus. I'm gonna walk, I'm gonna walk, I'm gonna walk with Jesus.
Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me,
I'm gonna walk, I'm gonna walk.
Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me,
I'm gonna walk, I'm gonna walk.
Though none go with me, still I will.
I'm gonna walk,
though none go with me.
I'm gonna live the way He says to live. Do what He says to do. You can choose whatever road you choose, but I'm gonna love the way He says to love, trust the way He says to trust. This world alone will never be enough, so I'm gonna walk with Jesus. I'm gonna walk, I'm gonna walk, I'm gonna walk with Jesus. I'm gonna
walk with Jesus.
I'm gonna walk.
I will follow.
I'm gonna walk
with me.
I'm gonna walk with Jesus. I'm gonna walk with Jesus. I'm gonna walk. I'm gonna walk with Jesus. I'm gonna walk with Jesus.
Okay, we're gonna switch over to Christmas music now. So hopefully you guys are ready for the getting the holiday spirit here with your praise and worship song.
Seated. And we have a special Thanksgiving activity for the children. So if there are any children that would like to go along, follow Angela there. It's open to any of the children. And let's take a moment to share our prayers and our praises now. What kind of praises do you want to share with us? What kind of things happened this weekend or this week? We did have Thanksgiving after all. Any Thanks. Any praises? All right. Debbie, back here. Donna.
Just a praise and a thankfulness for everybody that showed up last night, yesterday, inside and outside. Outside had the roughest job. It was cold.
It's cold.
But it looks amazing, and just very grateful for everybody that showed up.
Yeah. Amen. Any others? How about any prayer requests? Okay. So let's pray that God puts some things in your life this week that you can share. That's fine. I know that we have all sorts of praises that we just don't come to mind, or that, oh, Donna thought of another one.
It was great to see Gail and Jim here today.
Yeah. Yes. Just so good to see you. Yep. I saw them, and then Nate. I saw Nate come in. Good to see him again. Yep. So.
Let's see. Yesterday was great. Got everything done outside, then came inside. And I saw the banners were old, and I thought, "Where's the new banners?" So, found out where the new banners was, and I went and got the raising stick. No more ladders, and I got to teach Adam McKelvey how to do that, and he took off with it. I let him do both of them. So, besides me and Brenda, we have a new recruit, and if you want to find out how to do it, it's their secret now. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else that you want to share? Oh, good. Okay. See, we just needed to break the ice.
Well, I'm very thankful and happy to be here with my daughter and her family. And I was able to ride with Chris's mom 12 hours from Wisconsin, Bloomington, to here. So we're very, very pleased and thankful.
Yeah, well, and we're thankful that you're here with us. We're thankful for that safety for a long trip. Yeah.
I think everybody should cherish.
Wait a minute. Let's get the microphone. That way the people on Zoom can hear you, and the people on the other side.
Just cherish life's miracles.
Okay. Yes. And we're not talking big things that, every day is full of little things that we might consider little miracles. There's no such thing as a little miracle, but things that we take for granted are miracles. Any others? Yes.
We're thankful that Nathan got to spend some time with us.
Yep.
And then Traveling Mercies to take him back again tomorrow.
Okay, yeah. Having family around is a wonderful thing, isn't it? Most of the time. It's family, I know. There's family dynamics. Any other praises, any other prayer requests? Okay. Let's go to our Father. His family is a little dysfunctional sometimes too. Let's go pray. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, this opportunity to serve you, the gift of another day, but also this special day, a day where we get together and we remember and celebrate your Son's resurrection. And now, this special time of the year, we also remember his birth. And as we get started into this season, we just anticipate his coming, knowing that he's coming again for us, but we also try to put ourselves in the place of the world as they anticipated the Messiah coming. Father, I thank you for family that was able to come together, come back, or to travel together, those that are here. Also, those who have returned from visiting family, it's just, I pray that time together, or the time that they are spending together now, is a time of joy As I said, we all know that there are family dynamics, and I just pray that you'll make your presence known with these families, and so that family time together can be a time of joy, a time of reconciliation, just a time of love. And Father, we ask you for healing for those who are in need of that right now. We pray for comfort, for strength. We just pray that you will fill the needs of those, not only from our congregation, but from families, friends, people we know, people in our neighborhood. We just thank you for being there for us. Father, we thank you for providing for us. We thank you for the income that we receive, and we've given a portion back, and a portion that was yours to begin with, and we give it as worship. We give it as thanksgiving. And so, Father, I pray that it is given with sincere hearts, and that it would be accepted by you, and that it would be blessed, and that it would be used to further your kingdom and your church. And now, Lord, as we are about to hear your word, I pray that you will use me as your vessel. I pray that we will have open ears and open hearts, and that we will be not just hearers, but also doers of your word. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so as we've mentioned a few times already, today is the first Sunday in Advent, and I mentioned that the word Advent comes from the Latin word adventus, which means coming or arrival. The Oxford Dictionary defines Advent as the arrival of a notable person, thing, or event. For us as Christians, Advent means the anticipated arrival of a very notable person, God, in human form, and the baby Jesus. Not just as the baby Jesus, there wasn't just a flash of light, a puff of smoke, and poof, there's a baby Jesus in a manger. God chose to come as the most vulnerable, as a baby in a young girl's womb. But we also anticipate the arrival of the notable event that we call Christmas. And since this is the first Sunday in Advent, it means that we are less than 4 weeks until Christmas. If you haven't started doing any of your Christmas shopping, you might want to think about getting started. But for us, the first Sunday in Advent means that our thoughts turn to baby Jesus, they turn to Joseph, and especially today, they turn to Mary. Now, we know that December 25th isn't really the birth date of Jesus, but that's when we choose to celebrate it. That's when we commemorate the culmination of Mary's unique 9-month pregnancy. For 9 months, people have been saying, Mary is expecting. And that's our sermon title this morning, Mary is expecting. But I want to go back to 9 months ago, when Mary first found out that she was expecting. I want to talk about the things that she was expecting and the things that she wasn't expecting. We'll be looking at the very familiar story in chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. But we're going to look at it just a little bit different way. So starting in Luke, as I said, chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Okay, so we're going to work backwards through these two verses. We find that the woman we're talking about, her name is Mary. And then it tells us that Mary is a virgin. And as conservative Christians, we believe that means exactly what it says. Unfortunately, there is a liberal stream of Christianity that doesn't. You see, the word translated as virgin can also be translated as a young maiden of marrying age. And I was told by a pastor quite a few years ago in a different denomination, a church that we were attending, I was told by that pastor that you don't have to believe that Mary was a virgin. We left that church very quickly. Here's why we believe that the translation virgin is the correct one. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 tells us, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." Now, if you read that, and as you're reading it, you get to that word, the virgin, it has a little letter beside it because there's a footnote, and the footnote does say, or young woman. But what kind of sign is that? Let's change it. Let's put that in there instead. "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The young woman of marrying age will conceive and give birth to a son." There were a lot of young women of marrying age who were conceiving and having a son. That's not a sign. There's a lot of people that are going to miss that. But a virgin conceiving and give birth to a son, that's not happening. And so when you see that happening, that is a sign for sure. Okay, so we've determined her name is Mary, she's a virgin, and she is pledged to be married, it says. Pledged to be married, betrothed, engaged to a man named Joseph. Now, this isn't exactly like our engagement process today where somebody gets a ring, they update their Facebook status, but they can change their minds later, just give the ring back, and everything returns to normal. To be pledged or to be betrothed is a one-year commitment that leads up to the wedding. But during that one-year period, you are considered to be legally married. You are committed to the other person, although there is no physical relationship. That's not allowed until the wedding. And you just can't change your mind and go on. The only way to reverse this is through a legal divorce. And we'll hear more about that next week. So Mary has had no contact with a man. Mary was betrothed, committed to a man named Joseph sometime within the last year. So, Mary is expecting that, number one, Joseph will prepare a house for them. That's part of that one-year period. The husband gets ready, makes things ready for a place for them to live. So Mary's expecting that Joseph is preparing a house for them. Mary is expecting to complete the betrothal period just as normal, like everybody else. Mary is expecting to have a wonderful week-long wedding feast like everybody else does. Mary is expecting to become Mrs. Joseph. We don't know his last name. And Mary is expecting to have lots of children and build a family. That's what Mary is expecting up to this point. But what Mary is not expecting is everything else that's about to be revealed to her. She wasn't expecting to even be visited by an angel. I'm sure she heard the stories of angels appearing to people in the past, but that's because that angel had something important, some sort of an important message from God to these people who were significant. And Mary wasn't expecting to have any significance. As we continue to read back through these first two verses, we see that she lives in a region called Galilee. In the Gospel of John, the Jewish leaders are discussing Jesus, and they respond to Nicodemus, "Are you from Galilee too? Look into it, and you will find that a prophet does not come out of Galilee." So for these men, there's nothing significant about Galilee. And inside that region, Mary lives in an insignificant town called Nazareth. Remember also in the Gospel of John, Jesus is calling his disciples. He's called Philip. Philip has accepted. Philip tells Nathanael about Jesus, and Nathanael's response was, "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nazareth was an insignificant town with only about 500 to 1,000 people living there in the insignificant region of Galilee. She's a real nowhere girl sitting in her nowhere land, making all her nowhere plans for nobody. Okay, a few of you recognize it. Verse 28, "The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.'" Highly favored? Mary wasn't expecting to be valued by anyone other than perhaps her husband. Verse 29. And so Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Why would she be greatly troubled? Well, I think I can kind of imagine, perhaps. I think about how you feel when someone approaches you and says, "You're just the person I've been looking for." You know something's coming. And since Thanksgiving is over and we're officially into the Christmas season, think about the malls. They're filled with all those annoying little kiosks. When you're walking down the mall, if the kiosk is over here, you sort of start to walk this way, don't you? You want to avoid those kiosks, and don't you dare make eye contact with that kiosk. Oh, I looked. I made eye contact. They saw me. They approach you. You look like someone who knows quality when she sees it, and you know something's coming. Mary was greeted with, "Greetings, you who are highly favored." She knows something's coming. She's heard the Old Testament stories. She's heard about that guy named Job. She heard about God saying, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Remember how that worked out for him. So she's a bit scared. She's greatly troubled, it says. Verse 30 tells us, "The angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God.'" Wow, that's another thing that Mary wasn't expecting, to find favor with God. And in fact, this whole greeting would be something that she was not expecting. Yes, it's normal to greet someone, but the type of greeting was determined by a person's rank or status. She's a female. She's probably 13 or 14 years old, and she's unmarried. She has absolutely no status whatsoever. Remember, she's a real nowhere girl. You get it. Mary wasn't expecting to be visited by an angel. She wasn't expecting to have any significance. She wasn't expecting to be valued, much less highly favored, by God. In verse 31, the angel continued by telling her, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus." Whoa, 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 wait a minute. She certainly wasn't expecting to be pregnant yet. We're putting the cart before the horse here. We kind of have to finish the betrothal period. We have to have a wedding first. There has to be this wedding feast, and then we get pregnant. But the angel continues, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Wow, there is so much to marvel at here. Her son is going to be great. He's going to be called the Son of the Most High. He's going to be a king. He's going to be given the throne of David. He's going to reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom is never going to end. Oh my goodness. Mary wasn't expecting to be significant, so she certainly wasn't expecting any of her children to have any significance either. But she doesn't question any of those marvelous things that get mentioned. Instead, she questions the practical. Verse 34, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." She's saying, wow, you've really got some wonderful plans for my boy. And that's all great, but I've never been with a man. So how's this going to work? And I kind of picture the angel saying, oh, it's simply really. And then he says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Oh, okay. That explains it. Did you notice how the Trinity, the full Trinity, is involved in this set of verses? The angel said, "The Holy Spirit," there's God the Spirit, "will come upon you, and the power of the Most High," that would be God the Father, that's the way they referred to him, "and of course, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." So you have God the Son there. You have all three parts of the Trinity right here being involved in this process. Now, here's another spot where we have to talk a little bit about doctrine. This is not the creation or the development of the second part of the Trinity, referred to as God the Son. This is the creation, the development of a man named Jesus, okay? There was a time when Jesus was not, but there was never a time when God the Son was not. The baby, the boy, the man named Jesus came into existence right here, but the second part of the Trinity, God the Son, has existed from infinity and beyond, just like God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. So then the angel lets Mary in on a little secret. Verse 36. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. And I imagine Mary just beamed. That's wonderful. Mary was not expecting her relative Elizabeth to be pregnant. They've been trying to have a baby for so long now, but she was just never able to conceive. And maybe the angel sees sort of a questioning look on Mary's face. So he says in verse 37, "For no word from God will ever fail." If God says it, it's going to happen. Or the more familiar translation is, "For nothing is impossible with God." We've turned that verse into a cliche, into bumper sticker, into a refrigerator magnet. Nothing is impossible with God. We say it, but so often I'm not sure we really mean it. We hope it's true, but deep down I think maybe we doubt it sometimes. How many times might someone say, "Well, he can't possibly love me, not if he did a background check on me." Oh no, nothing is impossible for God. Or this sickness, or this medical problem, or this mental health condition, it can't be fixed. I'll just have to learn to live with it. No, nothing is impossible with God. Just imagine what our lives would be like if we lived every day, every minute of every day, with the conviction that nothing is impossible with God. Mary wasn't expecting an angelic visit. Mary wasn't expecting to be a significant part of God's plan. And Mary wasn't expecting to have a child without having a wedding. And now, right here at this point in the story, I don't think Mary was expecting to have a choice at this point. But I think that's why the angel is still hanging around. He could have told her that this is what's going to happen and just leave. But he waits for her response. He waits for her to make a choice, waits for her willingness to be part of the plan. Verse 38, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. She makes her statement of submission. "I am the Lord's servant." That's doulos there, slave. He's the master. I'm the slave. I'm his servant. And she basically ends with, "May his will be done." She says, "May your word to me," that's the angel's word, but the message from God, "may it be fulfilled." It's kind of like the Hebrew word, amen, that we say, which means so be it or let it be so. When you make your prayer and you tell God, you confess things to God, you ask God for things, you talk about how wonderful he is, and then you say amen. You're saying, let it be so. That's your statement of commitment, your statement of conviction. I'm your servant. Let your will be done. So I thought with this story that I bet many of us can relate to what Mary was not expecting. Mary wasn't expecting a message from God. Maybe you aren't expecting any messages from God. You feel like God just doesn't talk to us in burning bushes anymore. But I can tell you, he does use prophets. And these people are not necessarily distinguishable. They're not wearing any special robes or any special hats or wearing a name tag that says, "I'm a prophet." But he does use people as prophets. I had someone approach me when I was in my teens who said, "You ought to think about being a preacher." I laughed. Then about 15 years ago, a pastor approached me and said, "Have you ever thought about being a preacher?" I listened. God speaks to us through people that we weren't expecting to be prophets. Mary wasn't expecting to have any significance. Maybe many of you think of yourself as insignificant. You're just a nobody living in this little town of Palmyra. How can anything good come from there, right? Or maybe you live in the little town of Middletown, or the even littler town of Littlestown. You know, there's a Littlestown, PA, and then there's a Middletown. I wonder if there's like a big town. I don't know. But maybe you live in Anvil. You live in some small town that you feel like there's nothing significant about this place. You know, Mary didn't have any great qualifications. She didn't earn the right to be Jesus' mother. She wasn't perfect. She wasn't sinless. She was just an average person trying to live an average life, like many of us. But her greatest ability was her availability. That's what made her significant. Make yourself available to God. I dare you to humbly and sincerely go to God saying, "I am your servant, I'm available, let your will be done. How do you want to use me?" Mary wasn't expecting to be faced with a choice like this, but she accepted. So when you make yourself available, and when you listen to those prophets, then make the choice to follow his plan. And I can tell you, from personal experience, when you say yes and you start following, you better buckle up and enjoy the ride. Mary is expecting. I hope you're expecting too, because nothing is impossible with God. Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that we find in it. And we are so thankful that nothing is impossible for you. Father, help us to see our value, our significance, and I pray that you will soften our hearts to the point where we say, "I am your servant. Do with me as you will." And I pray then, Lord, that we will accept and listen and follow. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able, I encourage you to stand and let's sing our final hymn with a theme of hope.
Thank you.
So, I hope that you leave here with the hope that is built on Jesus' blood and righteousness. And take that hope and share it with someone else. And may the Father look down with favor upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.